morning and welcome to the WFAC radio show. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It's good to have my co-host.
Yes, good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Always fun doing the morning show. And we want to give a shout out to our faithful listeners.
Yes, thank you for tuning in.
Appreciate you for tuning in. And we were talking off the air about the weather and how great the weather's been.
It's been beautiful.
Two great weeks.
Yeah. With the exception of a few rainy days.
Yeah, but you
like
said.
Like one, maybe.
Yeah, but you were saying that you got to watch the rain from inside, correct?
True.
I was actually out in it. And I have an earache because of that.
You know what? I was kind of like, in my head, I was like, I have a big imagination, but in my head, I was pretending it was snowing, and I was like, I would have really liked this right now.
No, it's just fall. We don't want snow yet.
I know, but like, it was just like,
So listen, I do remember right after I first got married, first two or three years after mm-hmm. I got married, I remember it snowing in mid to late October. And I'm not talking about flurries. I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, me too. In late October, I've seen it snow
6 or 7 inches, 8 inches, yeah. Maybe. I don't remember how much. It didn't stay very long.
Oh, I don't remember that much.
But. Yeah. But anyway, so I was thinking that this has been a terrible year so far, right?
Yeah.
These are momentous times. But at least God bless us with like, a superb fall.
I mean, it's been
fall.
A pretty good year for me.
Okay. She's already has her arm up in there showing her watch again. Okay. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. But I'm saying all other things aside, it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
But the fall has been great. And I'm glad that we've got to enjoy. It's like God gave us a little bit of reprieve.
Reprieve, yeah.
Do you realize all the things that have happened this year? It's been very momentous.
Yeah.
Momentous, right?
Yeah.
You know what that word means, momentous? It means momentum. It means like a lot of things happening, like big things. So
Changing things.
So back in March, COVID started. Look, if you don't know what the word momentous is, then don't try to act like you're on my mental wavelength.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So COVID started in March, right? And we had shutdowns, like all the businesses shut down, tried to shut the churches down. We went from that to riots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I skipped the murder hornets because that one came out for a couple days.
That was like a week.
I read a meme the other day. It said, kudos to the murder hornets for picking, say, you guys got enough going
they
on.
Must
we'll
have
come back later.
They must have legit got COVID and like ran away because like they were here for 1 week.
Okay, so you got COVID. You went straight from that to riots.
Yeah, okay, so COVID started in March.
Yeah.
And then the murder hornets for like a week.
Yeah.
And then
April, May, and then June,
the riots
started. What started was supposed protesting, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then it turned into riots, which was all riots to me, but okay.
Yeah.
And then the riots led up to like the whole election squabble,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, President
Trump. Which, honestly, like the election stuff, I feel like just started. Like I haven't heard like with the COVID stuff going on.
Well,
I feel like I didn't hear about it that much.
We actually did a morning show about this, about when you became politically aware. And it was
like two weeks ago.
Yeah. So the whole election thing's been going on ever since President Trump was elected in 2016.
That's
you
true.
Realize the election squabble's been going on, right?
Well, yeah, but that always goes on.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems to be like a bigger deal now than it has been, right?
Yeah.
So they have the election squabble. Then it turned into the mailing things or not mailing things. And that's been kicked around. And then RGB died.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, right? And then President Trump nominated ACB. I mean, it's gotten so crazy we don't even say their
AOC.
Names anymore. AOC, ACB, RGB. It sounds like a bad song. Okay. But anyway, RGB died, and President Trump waited 1 week and a day, I believe, and nominated Amy Coney Barrett, which I'm very happy about. Very happy about. And so then the Democrats and liberals started saying, hey, you know, you can't do this. You don't have the power, whatever, whatever, which brought us to last Tuesday night's debate. And that debate was basically a debacle, right? And we're not going to talk about that on the show. That's another thing for another time.
We have
to
wait.
And right out of the debate, 3 days later, President Trump comes down with the coronavirus. Not only him, but First Lady.
Yeah.
What'd you say? I didn't hear what you
said. I said suspicious.
Suspicious.
Conspiracy.
You think it's a conspiracy? You think that's actually what it is?
I don't know.
And so now, you know, now we're left wondering what will be next week or next year or next month. Sometimes I wonder if it's the events themselves or how much negative attention they're given to by the media.
I think it's the latter.
You think it's the latter? Mm-hmm. Because people have always gotten sick and whatever. I mean, it's serious that President Trump...
And there's always been sicknesses that kind of... in some ways have shut down parts of the world, maybe not to the extent of COVID.
Right.
I don't believe to the extent of COVID. But there was Ebola, there was the swine flu, there was this, there was that. So there's always been sicknesses that plague, you know, one country or another.
Correct.
Or the world.
But this is the whole world.
But yeah, this is the whole
this
world.
This is one across the whole world.
And it's like everything is magnifying it.
So let's be honest. It's serious that President Trump is sick. and that he's in the hospital. And in fact, somebody asked me.
Oh, he's in the hospital?
Yeah, he's in the hospital. Oh, man, you are not politically aware. They took him by chopper to Walter Reed. They took him by chopper. Ever since Alex asked you to marry him, you haven't thought of anything else since that point.
I got a dress. Oh,
we are going to we're going to go off in the weeds here. Okay, so I'm glad you got your dress, Whitney. President Trump's in the hospital. So
newsflash. Wait, which one's a newsflash? I got a dress.
Somebody asked me this morning, are you praying for President Trump? And I said, yeah, sure.
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
No, are you praying for President Trump? Did you pray for President Trump?
I thought someone asked you, is Whitney praying for President
Trump? No, Whitney is too focused on her wedding dress to pray for President Trump. No, but I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, the Bible said pray for those that are in authority. And I think that scripture sometimes is taken out of context, but it said that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life.
Right.
Right. And so a lot of people feel like that when this year is over, that all the troubles are going to be behind us. Now, I personally don't subscribe to that.
Yeah.
I personally feel like now that the government's got its foot in the door and, all this stuff is going on, I feel like it's just going to go on until Jesus comes.
Yeah, I agree.
Which brings...
I feel like it's nice and settled in, if that makes sense.
What is nice? Oh, the trouble.
All the trouble in the world. I feel like it's nice and settled in. It's been here for a couple months. True. It's probably not going to go away.
Not a couple months. It's been here for 6 or 7 months. I mean, since March to now.
But it feels like a couple months. It's went by so fast. We talked about this. Fast and slow.
In one respect. And in another respect, it seems like it lasted forever. Yeah. Right? So I want to circle back to something you said. You said, it's not the events themselves, but it's all the negative media coverage out there. And I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
So right here is a great opportunity to plug this radio show and say, don't listen to them. Listen to us.
Listen to us talk about them.
We will give you the news and then move right on and tell you, hey, better things are going to happen, right?
Right. So, we'll encourage you.
You know, I remember growing up in church, people saying that, my grandpa specifically, I remember as a kid, but he was repeating saying that other old timers used to preach and tell people the day will come when you will pray for Jesus to come.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, that's been 2,000 years, give or take, depending on Gregorian calendar and Jewish calendar, et cetera. But, I mean, it should be the heartbeat of God's children for the Lord to come back.
Right.
Because that's the only escape from this.
Yeah.
That's the only escape. And another thing, I think we get so locked in sometimes on all the bad things that are happening that we tend to forget how good heaven will be.
Right.
I mean, heaven.
Well, it's easy to get distracted with all the worldly things, the things that we deal with from day to day.
That's true.
To, think about something that's hard to imagine.
Do you ever think that this radio show is I don't want to use the word raw, but it's really raw and open, and we're just talking about basic stuff.
I feel
stuff.
Like it is, because I'm a very honest person, and I say what's on my mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have a filter. Is that weird? We put that filter in front of your mic to help you with that. No, but that's true. But, I mean, you might as well tell the truth, right?
Yeah.
The world is rough. Situations are rough. But God is good.
Right.
I can't remember who sang that song, Life is Hard. I think Kathy Tricoli or one of those, Life is Hard, but God is good.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to the radio station today, we know you're going through hard times too. Mm-hmm. And we've talked over the past few weeks about those that have lost loved ones to COVID and other diseases and different things happening. But we're here to encourage you. There's a better day coming.
Yes.
And with that, we're going to share a song with you from Karen Peck and New River. Whitney's never heard this song. So we're breaking her in here this morning.
We'll be right back.
Fields. That's a good song.
I know that song.
You knew that song. Yeah, I knew you did. I knew after I played it, you'd remember.
I just didn't recognize her name.
Yeah, that's all good. That's a good song. It's a few years old, but still good. I'm not a big Southern gospel fan, but I do.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I judge it on the song. I judge it on the song.
And the artist.
Yeah, well, if the artist is good, the words are good. I like it. Right. I want to revisit something we're talking about, President Trump. And I know you don't. I know you don't know this because you didn't even know President Trump was in the hospital.
It's just been a long weekend.
You know, actually, I got an email saying I could send him a video, and I made two, like a snap on your phone, like a little clip on your phone.
Yeah.
And I made two, but I didn't send them because I was too embarrassed. Like I felt.
Would he actually see it?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is like there is a huge group that gathered outside Walter Reed Memorial Hospital and is praying for him.
Really?
They were like openly. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
In a time
You know what? I think I saw that.
She's having a revelation. She's having a revelatory process.
Okay, what was it like the big group of people at the Washington Monument?
No, that was a week ago. That's something else that didn't get any press.
Okay,
that
I saw it.
Billy Graham's son, Franklin.
Yeah, he has a pastor to like a church or something.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know what kind of church he pastors.
It's non-denominational.
I don't know much about
it. It was just like a big, I think it was like a mega church.
But I read, and we need to do some research on this. I read it was like 800,000 people. They're saying it's almost
a
million people there.
A million people?
No, they're saying 800,000.
That's a lot of people.
I know it. Especially for it not to be covered. We need to research that and find out.
Yeah.
We don't want to be fake news, right?
We're not fake news.
But listen, they were saying that dozens of people gathered outside Walter Reed Memorial Hospital and were holding signs and were actually holding prayer on the street. And I really did thank God. I mean, this country has its problems.
Yeah.
But that's still really a great thing, even though people will laugh and make fun.
I feel like
there's no other country where that's going on.
Right. And I felt like that if the press was more even or balanced, like...
fair.
Isn't it fair? Yeah, fair and balanced. Isn't that Fox News or something?
They say it, but they don't do
it. I feel like if the media was balanced and fair, that if the media was
technical difficulties,
and fair,
but we're back.
If the media was balanced and fair, I feel like there would be more press on the things that go on like that, and I feel like you would see more of like a God-fearing nation, because I do feel like there are still people out there that do it, and when they do it, they do get some sort of coverage. You know what I mean?
True.
The media just doesn't put it on their front.
So I don't know I don't know if you've ever read any about this or studied about this. It's very interesting to me. Something called the Fourth Estate. And this one, like, we can get off into conspiracy, and I don't want to do that, but you have like the three branches of government, which are executive, legislative, and judicial.
Yeah.
That's the president, vice president, legislative, obviously the Congress and the Senate. Judicial is the Supreme Court.
Right.
And then there's what's called the fourth estate of government, and that's the media. This is a well-known thing. Machiavelli wrote some kind of thing years ago. And I think that the liberals are largely relying on the fourth estate, the press, to govern this country.
Yeah,
because they control people's perception.
Well, and they can say things and portray things to play with the psychic of your mind.
And emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, really, we do need to, I mean, as apostolics, we do have to tune some of that out. Yeah. I was making a joke earlier. Rush Limbaugh said, "Shut all that off and listen to me." And really, I mean, I like Rush. I don't like all the time, but I mean, there is some truth in that. You cannot listen to all the junk that's said on the radio and in the newspaper and not be affected by it and feel. I mean,
well, it is.
If
it's
I
depressing.
Use the word depression, that's too honest, right?
Depressing
or depression. If I use the word depression, we're being too raw and open. No,
it's just life, though. But it kind of is.
It leaves you feeling depression when you look at all the things that are happening.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't want to spend our time talking about that. We're going to talk about our favorite subject, and that is food.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with a fall recipe. Well, it's not fall because it's soup, and you can have soup any time of the year.
That's not what your dad said. I just thought I'd share that with you. Shout out to Brother Jason. He gets talked about more in this radio program than anybody.
I know.
Okay, so you're sharing a recipe.
Yes, it's everyone's probably had it. Taco soup.
Sure.
So it's ground beef, onion, tomato paste, rotel, black beans, chili beans, corn, garlic, cumin, chili powder, salt. That kind of stuff. Just put it in your big, what's it called? Crock pot.
Kettle, crock pot.
Crock pot.
But how much of that stuff? I mean, you're just like, you got to guess how much spice, you got to guess.
I don't measure my spices. I just put them in there.
Yeah. You don't measure?
No.
Like, so what if somebody like put in a half a cup versus a teaspoon?
They should know not to put in half a cup of garlic. Not unless they want a choking gag.
So here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to advertise the soup, not tell you how to make it.
Right.
We're trying to advertise. We're trying to give you ideas.
So I put it in the crock pot and then, you know, after.
We give you the, hey, this is what we do. We're info. We give you the ideas and then you go look it up yourself. That way we don't have to
We'll tell you where to get it. Pinterest.
Yeah, you go to Pinterest. We give you the idea. We make you hungry for something. And then you should go find the recipe and fix it and bring us and we'll taste it and tell you if it was good or not. Right?
That's the best preaching I've heard all day.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so taco soup, it's my favorite thing to have. I know it's my family's favorite, too. And we use corn chips.
Now, look,
chips.
Your dad's not going to eat that because it has onions
okay,
in it.
Okay, okay. Minus the onions. Okay. Onion powder, substitute onion powder for.
All right.
Okay.
So
he does eat it. It's his favorite,
So
actually.
Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between taco soup and tortilla soup?
I don't think there is in my book, there isn't a difference. I think it's the same thing.
Okay.
But, I mean, it has the same flavor to me anyway.
Okay.
I know there is some people that put chicken in their tortilla soup.
I've seen chicken in it, yes.
Instead of the beef. But I put beef in mine, and I really like it served with sour cream and corn chips.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Now, some people would argue that you would use nacho chips.
Oh, nacho chips would be good, too.
Yeah, either or.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to hear about, I heard about your dinner on Wednesday night.
Okay.
What was it?
It was called feijoada.
Okay.
Feijoada, F-E-J-O-I-D-A. And it's a Brazilian dish, and I've made it twice. I made it a year ago. It took me a whole year to get the courage to make it again.
Why?
But I don't know. Like, I don't cook that much. Just when I cook, I do get locked in and focused. And
yeah, it's been a cooking kind of month or something.
Yeah, that's true. So I've made several trips to Brazil. And on one of my trips, because the restaurants there are much different. They have McDonald's and Pizza Hut. But, like, when you go to Pizza Hut, you get corn on the pizza. Were you prepared for that?
Corn on your pizza?
I had to throw that in. No, it's true. They have their pizzas, like, totally.
I mean, I guess it would kind of make sense because we put pineapple on our pizza. Corn sweet, pineapple sweet.
Okay, so I've went there and ate several times, and I didn't want to go to Pizza Hut. I didn't want to go to McDonald's because I can get that in the States, and it's a little different anyway.
Yeah.
And so I'm a foodie, right?
Yeah.
So Brother Cleve Lambeth is like, hey, you know, there's something I want you to try. I want you to try. It's okay, so... on Wednesdays and Saturdays are the primary days. Feijoada, if you look it up, is the meal of the poor people. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound, I mean, with all the stuff going on in the United States. But years ago, when the rich landowners, plantation owners, homeowners butchered the cow, they took all the good cuts for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they left the remains. You've heard of Hispanic people eating the oxtail. Some people eat cow tongue, you know, et cetera. It's not things I would want, but I know. But the working class people got the leftovers.
Yeah.
And so they would just take that leftover. I mean, you can't really eat that.
Right.
So they took it and mixed it with black beans, and they made a gravy. And then they had greens, which was basically a poor man's dinner, like greens, you know, a pulse. And they took and made those and cooked those. So they eat that like it's black beans and stew meat over rice.
Okay.
And then you have greens with it. But I mean, I actually did it the rich man's way, if you look at it that way. I mean, I grilled a pork loin. I put sausage
in. That sounds
so
good.
It was good. In fact, I still have a little bit left. And Brother Cleve Lambeth, I mean, he's like, what he was saying goes totally against like the American concept. He's like, it's always better after you heat it up the second and the third time. Because most people,
if they
heat it up once, they throw it away.
See, I can see that though on some things I eat, like salsa is better the second day.
But listen, I said heating it. Because how many people get leftovers?
Let me think.
Yeah, you get leftovers that's cold in the fridge and you heat them. And most Americans say put them away.
Especially meat. I like meat fresh.
But he said it's better you heat it up the second and the third time. And I've actually eaten leftovers.
Did you heat it up and eat it?
We just do portions. I'm not that much of a Brazilian. But you can actually research it. It's on Pinterest. You can find it online, feijoada. F-E-J-O-I-A-D-A. It's very good.
So I think I heard you mention that it took you like... a little bit. It's prepping is a lot.
Well, it was two full days because, first of all, I mean, anybody who's cooked beans, pinto beans, whatever, if you get the real beans, you have to let that soak overnight.
Right.
So you're a whole day soaking the beans in salt, right?
Right.
And then the actual stew itself, they recommend 12 hours of cooking. So I had to cook the meat separately, you know, grilled the meat separately and had the beans and the the beans and the spices, but I didn't just throw them in. I put in the accurate measurements, right? And so that's cooking. Then you keep adding meat to it. And I think I cooked it a total of 12 to 14 hours.
Wow.
So it's basically 2 days that it took to cook it.
Was and it worth it?
It was worth it. It was way worth it. There's also a Brazilian salsa that's made with white wine vinegar and olive oil. And then, you know, they don't use cilantro. They use parsley, which is cool.
Oh, I like cilantro way better than parsley.
You've eaten salsa with parsley in it?
No, but okay, so cilantro, the smell of cilantro just smells so good.
Wow. Okay. Well, I have any of these recipes if you're interested and you want to spend 3 days of your life cooking. But look, at the end, it was worth it. Everybody ate like boa constrictors. They did. It was true. And we did,
sounds
too.
Good.
It was good. So, yeah, food's our thing. You know,
food. Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, so what's your favorite, while we're like talking about fall food, what's your favorite fall food? Like fall food, like something you only have in the fall.
Well, there isn't anything that I only have in the fall.
Okay. Well, I have something that I only have in the fall.
Tell me what it is.
Caramel apples. So, I have caramel apples in the fall.
So a little bit of that Russell blood
No. You cannot go to the store and buy a caramel apple unless it is September
but
or October.
You could go to the store and buy apples and put caramel on them any day of the week.
Yeah, but is it traditional like for like Americans to eat a caramel apple, just whip it out in April? No.
I've never given any thought to that. If I was hungry for something and I had the money, I mean, if you can't buy it, you can make it, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you can make caramel apples. Okay, so do they taste the same? No.
Why wouldn't they?
Because, like, sitting outside on a fall day, the leaves are blowing.
So you are equivocating. Wow. I read something today. It said, hey, for all you people that love fall, just want to remind you that's not a personality trait. No, that's true. So I would have to say that.
My name is Whitney. I'm sweet and I love fall.
Okay, so listen, I would have to say though that my favorite, we'll call it fall winter food, is chili. Uh-huh. And you know that.
I'm big into chili.
Huh?
Do you eat that only in the winter?
Well, my wife tends not to make it so much like during the summer months unless I come home and say,
you know,
I'm hungry for it. Yeah. Or, you know, I start making it myself. So, I mean, I'm not.
You know what we could plug right now?
What?
The fellowship, because you're going to make chili.
I am going to make chili. That's true. So October 29th and 30th, we're having a special fellowship service here. And I've went over this a couple times.
Yeah.
We're not trying to invite saints from other churches who listen. Get your pastor's permission or have him to call me. But Elder Fred Jimenez will be here from Whittier, California.
So exciting.
And Elder Dustin Kuhn from Kerrville, Texas. And so I've received a lot of input back from those that are texting, planning to come. We're going to put the flyer out first of the week, and we'll do our best to invite everybody that we know that are our friends across the states. And we don't expect everybody to come, but it should be a good time.
Yes, and we will have chili. Brother Burton's famous chili.
On Friday night, we'll have fellowship for the kids and fellowship for the adults and have food prepared for you to serve. So, yeah, really excited about that. Looking forward to it. Again, COVID has shut us down from everything this year.
Yeah, there's been no meetings, no nothing.
I know it. Hey, I want to play a song for you, okay?
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a big contemporary. We played Southern Gospel. I'm not a big contemporary gospel artist. But somebody in the church had sent me this song a few years ago, and I think it's important. So many things going on in the world, and our children's attention is being captivated by tablets, computers, cell phones, and social media, and all these things. But it's not just the children. It's the young people and the adults, too.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we really have to combat. In fact, people have spoke back to me via text and personally listening to the morning show, appreciating the fact that we're discussing this. Because sometimes in preaching, you just make a statement general. You make a statement in general, and it's a to the point, abrupt. And I'm guilty of that. But to actually discuss
and expand
why we believe what we believe.
Right.
With the world and the condition that it's in, we should now more than ever have our families focused in and tuned into God, and tuned into the things of God, and not become distracted by all the foolishness that goes
on.
And
even
in the
though
world.
You know it's very hard, and we talked about that on here, it's so hard not to get distracted.
Here we're saying shut the radio off, shut the media off, because it's depressing.
Right.
And then you know at the same time the struggles with giving your kids and young people that you know if it's depressing us, if it's affecting us, it will undoubtedly affect them.
Right.
And so this is a song about the effect that electronics and social media, and I'm using those are mediums, but it's the overall plan of the devil. But this is a song about the effect that those things have. And it was sent to me by one of the sisters in the church. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been 6 years ago now, 5-6 years, and it's become one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I should say this for my favorite program, but I'm going to play this here this
Your
morning.
Your favorite program?
Moving right along.
How dare you?
His dream, more like a prison now it seems. Somewhere on the corporate climb, he left his warrior behind. Now he's just a worker at a daily grind that steals his years and numbs his mind. His strength is fading, his dreams are blind. This is not the life he had in mind. Up all night, staring at a screen that tells him lies, that the grass is greener on the other side. So she's at the gym fighting off the years to be young again and calm her fears that she'll never be enough for him. Just as a young man catches her eye. Trapped in their own worlds and their own wars, with their cell phones and their closed doors. It's funny how quiet and peaceful that it seems, but they're all alone together in the house of their dreams. Sister, she's a 16-year-old princess, lost somewhere between the swing set and a brand new crush's chariot awaits. And Big Brother's room's glowing with trophies to shout his name, but he'd trade all his high school fame for some backyard catch with his hero again. But they're trapped in their own world. Like the rest, and they sing the songs of peace and rest that Jesus freely gives. And then the kids look up as Daddy stands, and he takes his bride with trembling hands. The brother kneels at his father's side as Princess looks in her mother's eyes. Tears tear down the walls as Daddy prays. We're trapped in our own worlds and our own wars, with our cell phones and our closed doors. God, only you can save our family. And on this rock we'll build, on this rock we'll build.
Good song. I had never heard that one before.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's a pretty good song.
It addresses issues.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. It's a pretty, it's an honest song. It's just straight to the point.
True.
I do have a a question for you.
Okay.
So I did not listen to the debate.
Okay.
That is going to be a hot topic here, I can tell.
Right.
But what I did see something that said who they thought won the debate, which, you know, is everyone's opinion.
Right.
Who won it, Biden or Trump. But I did see something about the percentages of people who watch or listen, I guess, how they felt about it, which I think it was like 83% of people were annoyed, 7% of people were entertained, and I don't know what that the last percentage would have been, educated. So how do you think you listened? How do you think you felt about it?
Well,
how'd it go?
Okay, so a moment of honesty here, because that's what we're about, right? So I didn't listen to the whole thing. I got frustrated and shut it off. But my frustration was different, I think, than everybody else's frustration. And so, you know, I know that everybody's entitled to their own personal opinions, but this is our radio program, and we're going to give you ours, right? So, I mean, President Trump for 4 years, and he's not my, he wouldn't be the person that I would choose to represent me, like if I'm choosing a person straight out, right? But I do feel like over the last 4 years, he's adapted and changed. And because of the attacks that were against him, the attacks that were on him, I think his personality, not his personality in the sense of he's just a, look, he's not a politician. Right. He's a leader. He's a get things done man.
Well, and I think for so many years, he was seen as an entertainer.
Correct.
And I think that was hard for the American people to switch that over and to gain that respect for him. Not saying that he doesn't deserve that respect. I think he does.
Right.
But I feel like for the majority of Americans who've seen him on TV for so many years, I felt like they thought he was an entertainer.
But going back to the debate, it's not fair for the president to have to debate the moderator and the opponent.
Right.
And then,
no,
you know,
a moderator is called a moderator for a reason.
And I mean, for instance, I mean, he asked President Trump about denouncing white supremacy groups.
Right. I did hear that.
After that, they came out where in 2017 and 2018 and 2019 in this Twitter account and this video, he's done it over and over again. And one of the times that he denounced the KKK and David Duke and et cetera, he did it with Chris Wallace in the debate asking the question. So... I mean, you know how I would be. I mean, if I felt like that guy's against me, you know, like I'm a vociferous person if I feel like I'm being attacked. You know, I mean, it's not fair for him to have to put up with that.
And I felt like he knew that. He knew that that was happening that way, and that's the way it was going to be given to him.
And so there's all, again.
And I feel like he went in there with his guard up. He went in there on edge.
But this is all being framed by the media that can't be trusted.
Right.
All right. So, you know, President Trump, he talked over Joe Biden. He talked over Chris Wallace, you know.
And they were keeping
track of the times that Trump overran. Now, you know what? There's a theory about that. You can call it a conspiracy theory, but I tend to agree with it that Joe Biden had some type of listening device. You know, they have little hearing aids now that are so tiny you can't even see them. So, you know, he wouldn't be checked for a wire or whatever. And he acted like Trump's just a fool. But if you listen to some of the things that Vice President Biden said, like one of the terms he used, inshallah.
Well, you know what?
Inshallah, which is a Muslim term for Allah willing. I mean, are you telling me this guy, he can't even be coherent 95% of the time, and he thinks inshallah on that stage. And another time when he got ready to answer, and I heard this with my own ears, the moderator's still talking, and, you know, Vice President Biden says, good luck. I mean, it's like he's listening to somebody in the headphones saying, you know, here's the answer to the question, and good luck. But he's... Yeah. You know, it's not really fair.
Well, I feel like his only defense would have been, like, for on that stage debating Trump, because we obviously know that Trump is very educated. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. So he has all that in line. But I feel like Biden's only defense on that would be to portray Trump as a fool, because he knows the media can capture on that, and he knows that's what the liberal sense of the United States will capture on, is just Trump being a fool.
You know, it's like this. it's like this. I don't like the sight of blood. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't like the sight of wounds. And so I have this aversion, you know, and I think that part of that's spiritual. You know, we're not supposed to be fighters and brawlers and whatever. Right. But even as a kid, I didn't like to see blood. I didn't like to see wounds on animals or myself or anybody else. And so when somebody beats up the playground bully, it's hard to watch from the standpoint. If you're a sensitive person, it's hard to watch the blood. You know, it's hard to watch the wounds. Mm-hmm. But there's another part of me that's saying, you know what? These people have all that and more coming. And so it didn't change my mind. You know, again, I wouldn't choose Trump directly. If it was me choosing somebody directly, Trump wouldn't be my first choice.
Right.
But I mean, he was a candidate, and I mean, he come out and I mean, he's done and said some things over the past 4 years that, though, I mean, you know, we talked about his stance on gay marriage, but with abortion and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically come out against abortion.
Right.
And so I'm aligned with that.
Yeah.
I'm aligned with that. Yeah. I mean, the patriotism for the country and waving the flag and our God-given freedoms and rights, I'm aligned with that. I'm much more aligned with that.
And if you were a true American, you would be aligned with that.
You have to be. You have to be. And so it wouldn't matter what candidate ran on the other side. If they're going to run on that platform, it wouldn't make no difference what their name is. I'm not into names or name dropping or, you know. So the debate didn't move the needle for me. Yes, it was tough to listen to. It was tough. You know, and I kept shutting it off because I thought, man, they're just piling on and it's going to be a big old fight. Now, I read something else. They said that Trump kept interrupting him because he felt like that. I don't know if this is true. This is all conspiracy, I guess. But he felt like they were telling Biden in his ear what to say. And so the reason Trump kept interrupting him is to distract him from that.
Right.
And if you look at it that way, it's brilliant. I think that was Dan Bongino. It was an ex-Navy SEAL.
That would have been quick thinking on his part.
Was probably a strategy. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that they're going in there to do that and haven't strategized.
Right.
That's tough to believe that. But again, you know,
I do wish, so one thing I will say is I do wish that he would have been more tactful and used a little bit more of professionalism in the way that he said some of his things, just because he's a very honest person. He's a very, you know, just straightforward, just say it how it is. And I do feel like in that position, you still have to remain tactful.
And I don't disagree with you on that, but I guess where I'm struggling is, you know, he's not saved. He doesn't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, how much tact can you use?
Yes, I do feel like there's a little bit of leeway on that. For so many years, he has been, you know, hit with the media and be portrayed like this. So I do feel like he's, you know, frustrated. He's past frustrated.
I'm past frustrated.
Yeah. So I do feel like there's leeway there on that.
Yeah.
He has a reason to be upset,
Here's the other thing. He's confronting real hatred.
Yeah.
It's not,
I want you to die kind of hatred.
It's not an I don't like you thing, or I don't care for your personality, or I don't really agree. I mean, it's hatred.
Yeah.
And there's people lining up over the weekend when they took him into Walter Reed to say, I hope he never comes out.
Right.
He comes out, I hope he comes out in a stretcher.
Right.
Man, I don't wish that on Biden. I don't wish that on anybody.
Anyone,
I mean, come on, man. Where's the decency of being human, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, a lot of that is lost in today's world.
It's true.
That can happen with almost
anyone.
It's true.
So turn the radio off and listen to us, and we'll guide you back to decency. Hey, while we're here, I do want to talk about something. If you're an apostolic artist and listening, or you know an apostolic artist, when you're listening, please reach out to us.
Yeah, email us at WFACradio.
radio@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And let us know and get us their music. And most of the time throughout the day, we're playing all apostolic music. Listen, we're trying really to play all apostolic music, but it's difficult getting a hold of the artists. And not just getting a hold of the artists, but quality stuff.
Right.
Quality stuff. And so I know that some of the songs may be repetitive. And the only thing I say to that is when you listen to the radio, FM,
if you listen to any sort of gospel or Christian radio,
they repeat
all the time.
Yeah, it's true. So give us a little slack. Give us a little leeway there. If you know somebody, and there are songs that we need to get in the rotation. Last week we interviewed Demas Cortez.
Yeah.
My wife really liked that song, Break the Night.
Oh,
it was a cool thought.
It's a good song.
And he had a good voice.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know somebody out there, please contact us and get us their info. Or if you have feedback about something we're doing on the radio or something we're doing on the morning show, you can email us. WFAC
Radio. Let us know your thoughts, what you think, how you're
enjoying
it.
We do have an email for you to read. I'll let you read it later in the program.
Okay.
I got to get it. I'll let you read the emails that we received. So little fan mail.
It's exciting.
Little fan mail. Okay, we have a song for you in 2020. You can overcome all things. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And since he overcame, you can overcome.
Right.
Sister Whitney chose this. This is a very modern artist, very modern song, but we like it. And
it's
we sing
song.
It here at church, and we hope you enjoy it. Stay with us.
Jesus. So joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority. I've been washed in the blood. I'm kept by his love. I'm filled with the spirit and by
such a good song. That's like my favorite song.
That's
like,
your favorite song?
Yeah, like.
Like for today?
Well, I know, yeah, because I said that one song was my favorite song. It's a good song.
It is like a good song. Very good song.
One of my favorites.
That's Eddie James, Overcomer.
Yeah, it's a really good one. Okay, well, I do have an email here. email here from a listener.
You've been listening to Joe Biden in Shalom. Somebody's talking in your earpiece too, right?
Have to be you.
No.
Okay, so it says, hi, I am a new listener to The Morning Show. I just found y'all last week and I've been catching up. I'm enjoying listening to your show on iTunes while I'm at work. It's always refreshing to hear another apostolic and other apostolics and remember that even though the world around us is crazy, we are all in this together who are a part of the body. So thankful that we do not have to live on the same level as the world and fear the unknown. We can walk in faith expecting to great things God still wants to do as he wraps this up. Can't wait to see and be a part of revival he is preparing. Just so you know, you've got an extra listener in Virginia. Keep up the good work. Prayers from Virginia, Whitney.
Whitney.
Yes.
So shout out to Whitney.
Yes.
Not this Whitney. Is it Whitney McBride?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So we do appreciate your email. I'm not sure what part of Virginia.
It's so nice to hear people's opinions on the show.
And I do want to say.
It's encouraging.
It is. I do want to say that, I won't use names here because it's people local in our church. I don't want them to get embarrassed, but I do receive texts. Usually on Monday morning, as soon as the show ends, there's some folks in the church who text and say, and I'll talk to you about that personally, but we're not trying to brag, but we do appreciate the encouragement.
Yes, it's so nice.
Because we don't know. I mean, this whole radio station is like a trial deal on what to do. And there's a lot
of growing. Enjoy doing it, but we want to make sure that the listeners enjoy listening.
I mean, if you don't enjoy listening, it's not going to go very well for us in the future.
We're just talking to ourselves.
It's like the saying, if you're leading and nobody's following, you're just taking a walk, right?
Right.
So we do appreciate that.
Yeah, and I do want to say that if you have a business or if if you have an apostolic business and you would like an advertisement slot, we do have slots open on the radio show. So you can contact us at wfacradio@gmail.com and we can work you in some way. We'll have our producer be in contact with you.
We're working on that now. Even some folks reaching out to us.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'll take this moment to say shout out to 74 Ties because last week I woke up. it was early in the morning, like 5:30, whatever, and checked my phone. And it said 74 ties followed the radio, 74 ties followed the apps like Defender, 74 ties followed you. And it was a great day for me because I clicked in to see who they were, and lo and behold, they have more than 74 ties. And so I promptly ordered one, and I've already got it. Came.
Aww,
so
that's awesome.
Great apostolic business. I don't know the people. They're in Mount Vernon, Illinois. You're getting free advertisement here.
Yeah.
Because you had good ties. So
but you can get a slot.
You can get a slot. You could be a regular.
You can
on
be
the
a regular.
Show. They're probably not even listening. But anyway, it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So in doing this, you know, we're coming in contact with other apostolic people. And we appreciate that.
And that's encouraging just in general to know that there's other people out there that are striving and, you know.
It's true. The mission of the radio station is to propagate the gospel, to propagate good apostolic preaching and singing. And again, if apologies are needed, if apologies are needed, we do apologize that all the music is not apostolic. We're trying our hardest.
Right.
But mixing in some secular artists here and being careful what we play.
Yeah.
Now, we're not just going to play.
We do enjoy a lot of these.
I would be lying to say that I only listen to apostolic artists.
Right.
Because, you know, it's always a conundrum to me how people that don't believe in the oneness of the Godhead can write such songs and sing such songs. And I'm good as long as I don't see their pictures.
Right.
When you see their pictures, it usually ruins it for me. But if you're an apostolic artist and interested in being discovered on this radio station, contact us, send us your music. We do want to remind you that we are switching slowly to some formatting. There'll be some new programs this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it plays on Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5, it's a new program there.
Exciting.
3 to 5 on Tuesday and Thursday, hopefully, if it plays. We had a little technical difficulties. And then on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. is Kingdom Speak with Brother Daniel McKillop.
Yeah.
Friday night at 7 p.m. is Apostolic Defender. And we're continually adding in new content as we get access to it. Redoing the old tapes into preaching takes time, so please be patient with us. But I know it's going to take time to do this.
Yeah,
but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it.
It's work. It's work. It's taking time out to do the prep and then to come and actually record the show itself. It takes time.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. But I don't think any sacrifice for the kingdom has ever been wasted.
Right.
I do want to share with you another news story here. Last week we tried to share some stories about things that have a biblical connotation. But I mean, the whole political thing going on in the world, and I wonder if there's anybody out there that's like me that is tired of the masks.
Oh my Lord, I'm so tired of the mask. I can't even tell you how many masks I have at home. So many, because I have to wear them every day to work, and I don't want to wear the same one. Like,
do you have to wear it in the classroom all day?
I have to wear it, yes.
All day?
Okay, so I can wear it when I go in, and then if I'm social distanced, then I don't have to wear it. So if I'm sitting at a table and they're across from me, I don't technically have to wear it. But, like, I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. I have refused for the last 10 days to wear it anyway.
I haven't worn it into stores.
I haven't been thrown out.
I had to wear it to my, when I wedding dress shopped, on my appointments and stuff.
You had to wear it in the store?
I had to wear it in the store. I had to wear it when I try on the dress.
They told you to wear it?
Yes. It's required. You have to wear it.
Can you believe that we're having this discussion in America in 2020?
Yeah.
So I want to read you this article. And, of course, this man has received a lot of criticism, primarily because he's Republican and at least a simple conservative. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Friday that closing down school campuses in the spring as the coronavirus pandemic began to surge across the country might have been one of the nation's biggest public health mistakes. Can you believe that?
Wow.
In March, we may not have had all the information, but in hindsight, knowing what we know now, the closure of schools is one of the biggest public health mistakes in modern American history, DeSantis said during an appearance on the Drew Steele radio show. And I think even Europe has said that we shouldn't have closed up. So we went through all this stuff, and we're going to find out in the end that it didn't do anything.
Well, when you close down the education part of the United States, you will see a difference in the kind of education levels that you have in children years down the road, because they missed. If it's crucial, they're in a crucial part, well, every grade is crucial, but if they're in a crucial part of learning, they skip that entire thing. Kindergarten skipped the whole last part of the year. So that means they have no speech. They come and they, like top, they say top. Or no, not top. Okay, so if the word is top, they
this
say...
This lady is a teacher, brothers and sisters.
If they say top, like if you say top, they say op. They can't say the beginning word because they skipped all that last part of their education. So now first grade teachers are having to go back and reteach all of this.
So wait okay, a minute.
So we just
minute.
Went so, on so, a so, whole so, education thing.
Okay, so
sorry,
are you saying just... to me, are you saying to me that most parents aren't cut out to be homeschool teachers?
No.
They failed?
Yes.
They failed.
Yes.
They failed.
People, they will tell you they aren't cut out to be homeschool teachers. And if you don't have a desire to teach your children are not going to be taught.
So what you're saying is it takes a very special person to be a teacher.
I mean, I hate to brag on myself like that, but yeah.
I knew this was coming. I pitched a slow ball. Well, I mean, you really have to
have a desire to see your children succeed and be taught.
Well, the deal is we have bureaucrats running the country and not like real people that identify with real people problems. I mean, and it's amazing to me that so many school teachers are liberal.
Oh, yeah.
Is that amazing to you?
Well, I mean, where I'm at, it's a pretty small town, and it's not like that. Most of the school teachers are not as liberal as, bigger inner city schools and stuff like that. So I'm in Orleans.
A pocket yeah. of conservatism.
So, I mean, but it is very common for teachers to be liberal because teachers depend on, I mean, whether the schools and the government want to say it or not, they depend on government supervision. They get their education passed down from top line, so and they have to depend on that.
So how did you avoid that? How did you avoid that going to school? I mean, how did you avoid the liberal bias?
Like
I mean,
going to college? Or?
Obviously, you have the church and you know what you believe, but I mean, in college, were you faced with a liberal bias?
It's hard. It's hard when you go in and people that you're taught as a child to respect your teachers, respect your elders, respect these people that are in authority over you. And then you go into a classroom and you sit down and the person that you are supposed to have respect for is telling you all this liberal narrative.
Mm. Well, I mean, I understand that parents are not good homeschool teachers, but Deuteronomy chapter six, I mean, it basically leaves you with no option that when it comes to the Godhead, when it comes to truth, when it comes to righteousness, you have got to teach your kids. You cannot depend on, you know,
right.
By the time your kids get to college, they've got to know. They have to know.
Right.
So we have to do a better job. Now, I know I'm not teaching 2 + 2. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to spiritual things, we can't neglect our duty to teach our kids.
Right.
Because who's going to teach them if we don't teach them? Right?
Yeah.
Who's going to tell them? I mean, the college professors are not going to tell them the right way.
Right.
We
right.
have to do it. So, I mean, parents have got to
And I think that the topic of education is just it's a big overall topic and it plays into a lot of areas.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
Teaching is hard work. It's hard work. It's hard work.
Yeah.
Teaching is, it's a big deal. So God bless you. We appreciate you joining us.
Yes.
We're going to be out of time for playing another song, but
yeah.
You can catch us on a podcast and we'll be back again.
To be continued.
To be continued. We'll be back again here next week. God bless you. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Week.